There's been, some of you may have heard about, maybe even been involved with it, I don't know, but there's been some challenges going on around town. You know, accepting a challenge. It's a cold water challenge. Some have threatened to bring me into it, and I told them it's easy for me to ignore it, which made them all the more threat to bring me into it. But something how we can challenge each other to do things, and that cold water challenge is, if you don't do the challenge, then you give $100 to some charity. If you do the challenge, it's only $10. You know, pretty decent setup there. Can't imagine the water being all that terribly cold. I'm sure it's not, you know, shower temperature or Caribbean Sea temperature, but it's probably warmer than Pennsylvania mountain streams that I went swimming in when I was a kid. But there's a lot of excitement about it. There's just a lot of challenge involved with it. There are just all kinds of excitement. When somebody does it, then they challenge somebody else or somebody's. There's a whole list of people that they can challenge. And so it just keeps spreading, going further and further, raising more and more money and building more and more excitement. Tonight I want to challenge you. I want you to accept the challenge. Not the cold water challenge, but I dare you to accept this challenge. Spiritually, without sounding like it's all gloom and doom, but spiritually, we live in a lethargic age. We are spiritually asleep on the whole. You know, individual pockets here and there, or individual people here and there, are not caught up in that lethargic spirit. But by and large, we are in a lethargic age. It's obvious when churches, people come and gather in churches, even perhaps what we would call a good church. And yet how people can just coast through. I am amazed. I don't understand it. And I'm not trying to belittle. I'm not trying to knock anybody. But I don't understand how we can allow our children, school-age children or older, to sleep in church. You know, sometimes kids get all tucked in and they're just sound asleep during the majority of the service. You see that all the time. It's common among church people. I can't imagine what we would do if what parents, some of those same parents would do if their child heard from, or the parent heard from the child's teacher at school that they slept all the time, or that they weren't really engaged in class. There was something else that was drawing their attention on a regular basis. Well, kids need that schooling. They need to have that attention in class. What about their attention span at church? Sleepy, drowsy, they're in a stupor. What would happen if some of you went to work in the same lethargic stupor that some people come to church in? Some of you have been doing your job so long you can do it in your sleep. Some of you probably have done it in your sleep. Place that I worked before I went into the ministry, you wouldn't dare fall asleep on the job. Maybe I've said it before. The first week on the job, one fellow lost part of his middle finger because he wasn't paying close enough attention to all that was going on. My first week on the job, I tell you what, that set me back a little bit. When I told my mom that I was working at a place like that, she just about cried, "John, get out of there. You'll lose your fingers." I worked there for 7 years, long enough to be fully vested, and then quit. But I saw fingers leave people's hands instantly, just gone. One fella lost 3 fingers. Just a small speck of time that they weren't really paying attention. And it's too late. It's gone. Can't put it back on. Crushed beyond recognition. Just impossible. All because of a careless point of drowsiness, lethargy, some kind of a stupor. I could give you example after example of people that would be mesmerized by what was going on and lose consciousness of what was really happening and then do something foolish. You can do that while you're playing games. You can fall asleep on the ball field as long as you're on my opposing team. It's fine. I want you to do it while you're on my team. What about spiritually? How does it play into our lives spiritually? I dare you to accept the challenge. We think about it all in the realm of our school or kids' school and work and play. And then when we come to church, sometimes it kind of changes the standard. We shift the requirements. As though we really don't need this. Now, I realize some people come to church and there's physical conditions that cause them to make it, or it's difficult for them to stay awake. And sometimes when it comes to kids, it's because they didn't get enough sleep the night before or something like that. But, or just plain discipline. Sometimes it's just plain discipline. You know, I'd like to say that we have so much excitement here that all of our kids would be enthralled all the time. But that's, you know, honestly, that's not the case, is it? But what can we do when we allow children to sleep in church or just tuck themselves in and fall asleep? Are we teaching them that this is a second rate, this is a secondary, this is something that is optional? Or is this really necessary? Graduation's coming up very soon in at the school, and there's kids that are really getting serious about their schoolwork. There's some kids, I was just there Friday, and there's some kids that are very serious right now. They have 7 days of school left, 4 days before exams begin. They are really serious because graduation date's coming up, and they are missing a class or two, passing a class or failing to pass a class or two that they must have before graduation. And all it would have taken, all that it would have taken, would have been a little more consciousness of turning in their assignments when they were due. That's all that it would have taken. But because they were lethargic through the entire school year, now they come down and they anticipate not graduating simply because. I tell the kids in at school often whenever I get a chance, I remember the day when my guidance counselor looked across the desk at me and said, "John, you will never be accepted into a pre-med school because you have this C." "Mr. Warren, what are you saying? There's not a pre-med school in Pennsylvania that'll accept you unless you have inside strings." And all that it was lethargic spirit within me. Oh, I'm getting by. I'm doing okay. And I got one C. kids kind of laugh at me. But that's the fact. And here we find that for some of these kids, only they're looking at an F trying to get it up to a D. But there was one girl Friday that was just all in a tizzy about her grades. And I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "I have an A minus. I want to get it up to an A." Good. I like that. Where are we in that spectrum when it comes to spiritual lives? Our spiritual lives. I'm going to give you a quote from J. Matthews. He said, "Every Christian who wants to achieve must accept the challenge to confront wrong, to face adversity, to pursue right, to excel, to be self-disciplined. This is the pattern for success." To confront wrong, to face adversity, to pursue right, to excel, to be self-disciplined, this is the pattern for success. Now turn with me to Joshua chapter 13, if you haven't already and you want to follow along. Let's look at a scriptural lesson here that is given to us. Did I say Joshua? I want to look at Numbers 13. Numbers 13. Joshua 14 in just a little bit. Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. "And they told him and said, 'We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it.'" They had show and tell right there. They were showing them all of the grandeur of the land. "Nevertheless, the people," and now we get from show and tell into the perspective, into the perceptions. They leave the show and tell, the reality of the land, and they come into the perceptions. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Then I have to flip over to chapter 14, verse 1. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." Confront wrong. Face adversity, pursue right, to excel, to be self-disciplined. I think what we find there is that Caleb was really standing up for right. Challenging the status quo, challenging the stupor, the lethargic spirit that was settling down because of 10 people that were not involved with show and tell, but with their perceptions. Their perceptions were, simply put, we are grasshoppers in our sight as well as in their sight. It wasn't just that we are grasshoppers in their sight, they were grasshoppers in their own sight. It was a defeatism spirit right from the get-go. We cannot do this. It's going to be hard work. We're going to have to push a little harder than what I want to push. Even though God has already done this, 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 there's a whole list of things that God had done for them up to that point. But now he sees the battle and the conflict. Flip over to Joshua 14. Now remember that this is many years later. People have changed. leaders changed. Verse number 6 of Joshua 14, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and the children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Anybody here, it's 85? Are you feeling it with him? As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." Now we don't see Joshua in here on the side of Caleb in this story, but we know that Joshua followed God as well, because Joshua became the next leader. He followed Moses in that position. This particular story is about Caleb, and specifically we see that Caleb accepted the challenge with the same picture of negativity that the other 10 men said was there. The same impossibility. The only difference was Caleb had a picture of God standing in between him and the enemy. Now it is the enemy, the devil, has an office. It's a self-appointed office. He's not elected for the job. He's self-appointed for the office to challenge us in every effort that is before us to be spiritual, to be godly. Self-appointed office to challenge us in our every effort. We don't hear so much the term, or at least I haven't been hearing the term, dumbed down. But a few years back, I heard it more than I cared to hear, by far. And we were dumbing down. We were breaking things down. We were simplifying, or we were making it easier. We were youth camp, for one thing. We were taking the Bible memorization, where we would learn multiple verses in a day and bring it down to a portion of a verse. Rather than challenging the kids to step up, we were bringing the requirements down. And I believe that the self-appointed office of Satan is to challenge us, to bring us to that point where we dumb down godliness or spirituality or good soldier, as we talked about and heard this morning. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Well, we just dumb that down and make it more simple, make it easier. I talked about that blister I got this morning. Wearing gloves. And then Terry, of all things, Terry comes up and he reminds me that there was a tool better suited for the job in the truck. if it's not bad enough to get a blister, then he has to share it with me and remind me that there was something better there. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are dumbing it down, and we're lowering it, and spirituality and godliness, and we're taking it lower and lower. But when we strive, when we press on, when we look at ourselves as Caleb must have surely looked at himself and said, I can't do this myself, but I have a God who has promised. I have a God who has called me out of Egypt and promised the land of Canaan for my inheritance. Even though they're giants in the land, even though they're walled cities, even though it seems to be impenetrable, God has already delivered us out of Egypt. He has delivered us from Pharaoh's hand. He has provided clothes and shoes that have not wore out for us, provided water when we needed water, food when we needed food, sustenance all the way through, answer after answer. Caleb saw and heard and felt the rumblings of Mount Sinai. He was involved with the whole package. He knew what had taken place, and it brought him to the point where he felt like he was just as strong at 85 to go out against the enemy as he was when he was 40. I don't think I'm going to be in that position. I'm pretty sure that I'm not going to be in that position. But what about our spiritual? When we strive, when we have this challenge, and we try our best to accept the challenge to stand for God, don't be surprised when you find resistance in doing that which is right. I texted a young person this morning before church. Said, I sure wish I knew that you were in church this morning. I hope that you choose to do right no matter what. Didn't get much of a response from them. See, it's easier for so many people because of the resistance that we face to do right and to stand firm and to be strong and to allow God to move and work in our lives to shape us into the godly soldiers that He wants us to be. We will find resistance, and so it's easier to float and become lethargic. Accept the challenge. Go for victory. Every Christian who wants to achieve must accept the challenge to confront wrong, to face adversity, to pursue right, to excel, to be self-disciplined. This is the pattern for success. I dare you to accept the challenge. Let's stand together tonight.